Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, providing exterior solutions for homes with faded, cracked, or outdated siding. Details at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. 3 weeks ago and one day, St. Louis and Lauren Nalich stood on stage at the Lyric Opera of Chicago to accept one of the highest honors given in the country's culinary world, the 2026 James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest.
I mean, first and foremost, I really want to thank our team, past and present. Without you guys, none of this is possible. I want to thank my family, this family especially, St. Louis. Valente Bosna.
It's been nearly a decade since a St. Louis chef brought home a James Beard Award, so Nalich's win marks the end of a sort of drought. But it is also recognition of work that's been long in the making, a celebration of love-driven labor, fueled by resilience, family commitment, and community support. And here to talk with us about that is James Beard Award-winning best chef herself, Lauren Nalich. Lauren, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
And huge congrats to you and your team at Balkan Treat Box and Telva at The Ridge. I mean, I can see how it felt to hear that. Tell us how it felt.
Oh, man. It's still very surreal to hear it all back. I think surreal is the best word to kind of describe it. It was, you know, there was no expectation and wasn't expecting that, wasn't expecting them to call my name. It felt incredible. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of be recognized by your peers and the people that do this every day alongside of you, not just like my team, like literally alongside of me, but like our entire industry in this country. It was remarkable.
Mm-hmm. And you said it was not just you. And on that stage, there were seven other people with you, Lauren. Who were they? And why did you want them to share that moment with you?
Yeah. It's funny because some of my colleagues will always refer to me as rolling deep with with a lot of people. And yeah, so obviously my husband, Ando, our partner, his brother, Amir, and then his wife, Erna, Edo and Amir's parents, Fadil and Zeta, Mom and Babo, and then my daughter, Romy. So the only person that was missing was my son, Micah, but he was in Miami. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I brought everybody with me was because it's not about me. I mean, this whole journey has been about us. What we've been through together, we've pushed one another, they've had my back. I 100% would not have had the confidence to do what we've done without Edo's support. He really taught me to believe in myself and taught me to believe in what I'm capable of. Same thing with my kids. You know, I went out and really wanted to make something of myself because I really wanted them to be proud of me. I had them pretty young, so I kind of raised them while I was raising myself. And so having them up there made, you know, a lot of sense. And then obviously we can't do what we do without Amir, and obviously his parents are vested. I mean, we're all, you know, we're all doing this. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't feel like it was much about me as much as it was about all of us.
This is not the first time that you've been nominated. You were a finalist last year, and we had you on the show to talk about that. How is it different to win it? Like, you said you were not expecting it, and you said at the beginning of your speech, actually, that you had not prepared. Did someone next to you, like, have to nudge you? Like, this is happening?
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, it was funny. My daughter was sitting right next to me. She, like, gripping my hand, like, you know, there's no tomorrow. And I was pretty relaxed. And I saw on Edo's face that he looked pretty nervous. And then our friends from Louis were, like, a row in front of us, like, on, like, an aisle over. And so, like, I engaged with them a little bit, just, you know, again, to, like, calm my own nerves. But, yeah, no, I mean, I heard "la," like, when they were announced, I heard "la," and I just, like, blacked out. What just happened? And then by the time I came to, Emir had my head in his hands, like, he had my whole head in his hands, and he was like pulled on me, like, and I think that kind of, like, you know,
brought
snapped
you
me
reality.
Into reality, and yeah. I just started jumping up and down, like, screaming like a child.
You talked a little bit now about the journey, you know, the support that you've received. And Balkan Tree Box, for those who are not familiar, it started as a food truck in 2015, is that right?
Yeah, 2016.
So at that time, it was for many St. Louisans an introduction to Bosnian and Balkan food. But that was not the beginning of your learning how to make the food, because you talked about Edo kind of, you know, encouraging you. But what was it that made you feel that people were maybe ready for this food, or that you were ready to make it for them?
So I think there's a lot of ways to answer this. One is that it became this kind of love language for me. There were certain techniques and things that I was learning along the way that I was really falling in love with. Also, you know, just being able to be part of my family in that way as well. Like, you know, it's one thing to marry into another culture, but you find ways to incorporate yourself, like a feeling of belonging. And that was something that I knew that I could do, was cook. So that was part of it. I think in, like, bigger picture, like, St. Louis, you know, taking the risk on doing that on a food truck. I mean, there are plenty of Bosnian restaurants in St. Louis that were doing this long before we were. But taking it to the people, like, that normally wouldn't seek it out was a big deal. But I kept thinking, and we kept thinking, you know, the city has to be more curious than other cities because we're so densely populated with people from that region. And we were right.
Yeah, yeah. What were some of the first reactions people had when you did take this food truck, and it's really colorfully painted on the outside too? Like, were there common questions that you got? Were there certain areas you went where it was clear, like, these diners have never tried anything like this before?
Yeah, that was very, very clear.
Oh, okay.
It didn't matter where we went, but that was very clear. To be honest, like, when we first were parking the truck downtown, because those were the kind of the areas that you were allowed to park in at the time, over by Wells Fargo and then City Garden, we would pop back and forth. And one of the things that we decided early on is, like, education. Like, we really wanted to educate people about what this was and the food, so we weren't going to change the names to something, you know, that people could pronounce. And I mean, you know all about this. It was really important to us. So people would walk up and, you know, we would try all different things, a menu, no menu, pictures, no pictures. And, you know, nothing really worked until we started giving people food, you know, for free to try.
Oh, samples.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
And then once that happened, I think the thing is people were brought to the truck because of the enticing smells. Like, we were baking bread from scratch on that truck every day.
In a wood oven.
Yes, right? In a wood-burning oven inside of a metal truck in St. Louis summers. Like, we were crazy.
Yeah.
So you can't deny the, like, connection between, like, grilled meats over coal, and which we were doing, and bread being baked in a wood-burning oven. Like, those smells will bring you, like, at a human level to, like, connect with where that's happening. So that was really kind of the best part for us, is that people came because they liked the smell, but they didn't know what they were smelling.
Mm-hmm.
Once we started sampling things out, it became very easy. People would try it. They would buy something. They would come. They would bring a friend. That friend would bring a friend. And then it just spiraled. It took a long time to get to that point because we were trying to figure it out. But eventually, it worked.
Yeah. So it was olfactory attraction, and then there was, like, cultural introduction. Is there maybe a moment that stands out in your mind, like watching people connect in a way that they might not otherwise have done had it not been for the food that was so carefully made?
I think one of the things that always stands out for me is a moment on the truck. We had worked really hard on a day-to-day basis to engage with guests that would walk by in front of the truck, and it wouldn't work. And I remember at one point being on that truck, working that oven and the grill, and I look over, and Edo and our friend were, like, quiet and silent. They were helping me for the first time. And everyone was silent, and all you heard was outside the truck people talking about the food and what it was and where it was from and how much they're going to like it. And it wasn't just, you know, a group of people. It was listening to them pull other people in that they didn't know off the street to, like, hey, you have to try this. You have to try this. I promise you. Like, I'll buy your lunch if you don't like it.
Oh,
like,
wow.
All these small conversations were happening outside the window. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, like, this is... this feels bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. As someone who married into a Bosnian family, you're not coming from an immigrant background yourself. What kind of reception did you need from the Bosnian community here to feel like, oh, this is something that I'm allowed to do? I mean, did you feel like you needed some level of permission or acceptance before you could really take off?
Of course. I mean, I first and foremost obviously needed the support of my family, my Bosnian family. And the thing that I realized on my end was, you know, education and respect. So, you know, I take what I do very seriously. Started with going to the source, like, not just learning from, you know, who I know here, but actually leaving the country and studying and going to learn from the people that have been doing it for centuries and figuring out, you know, I think that's kind of always been part of my mission with this, is I knew that was something that people were going to look at. And I've always been hyper aware of it and making sure that I have so much respect. And if I have respect and I'm learning the right way and doing things the way they're meant to be done, and I can show that I can do that, then I can be creative. But I can't do any of that if I don't have the basis and the core of what that is and where it comes from and how and why and who makes it and the stories behind it and the history behind it. I have to know all of that in order for me to feel like I'm worthy enough to be able to do this sort of thing. And then not only that, but, you know, if I'm making something and my family's trying it, like, I do want their honest feedback. And I think part of that, I think all of that is the reason why I've been kind of embraced by the community, not just here in St. Louis, but, you know, in Bosnia. Like, I, like, will meet people there and they're always so gracious and so warm and excited that I care, mm-hmm. you know, that I care enough to do it that way.
I'm talking with Chef Lauren Knowledge. In mid-June, she won the prestigious James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. She's co-owner and head chef of Balkan Treat Box and Talva at the Ridge in Webster Groves. We'll be back to continue this conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Eileen Cha. I'm talking with Lauren Knowledge, the co-owner and head chef of Balkan Treat Box and Talva at the Ridge in Webster Groves. She was awarded the James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest last month, marking the first win by a St. Louis chef of that honor in nearly a decade. Lauren, in the context of food and drink, what does it mean to culturally preserve, you know, what has been handed over to you?
I think the preservation of what we do in particular is the most important part. You know, things like the way that we make the bread that we make, which is called somun. It is essentially a wood-fired pita bread. It's been done the same way it's one of the oldest breads in the world. It's actually brought over from India to Bosnia. So it's still being done the same way. I learned it the old way. We do it the same way at the restaurant, preserving those techniques. We teach it the same way at the restaurant. Same thing with chivapi, like same thing. Like there are just certain things you don't mess with. My recent trip in May was also, you know, something that I've always loved since starting to kind of dive into this food and this genre, like, is cooking and such. It's very medieval looking. Like I said, like, you see it and it's, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's striking, makes you curious. You can tell that it's not easy. It's not an easy way of doing things. But somehow, some way, all of those kind of things make it taste the best way possible. And I think there's a reason for that. And once we start getting away from that, it changes the food. It changes the taste. It changes the fundamentals of the dish. And is there a place for those things? Of course. But keeping the tradition and keeping those elements alive for, you know, us and generations to come is, I think, the most important thing. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned creativity earlier. How have you introduced things either to the process of cooking or what people are tasting, maybe insofar as ingredients go, in the time that you've been making food at Balkan Treat Box and more recently with Talva at the Ridge?
I think Balkan was kind of needed to be as traditional as possible. Like, do we take liberties? Of course we do. It's like part of what I do for a living. You know, we need to be able to put our own, you know, signature on things. But we kept to traditions. I think with Talva, we could be a little more whimsical, have a little more fun with, you know, flavor profiles and how we present them. I do a lot of like private dinners and ticketed events, and those dinners always are, you know, completely creative. So you'll take something very traditional, like, you know, like burek, for example, this dish we've been
talking about, right?
And instead of doing it, you know, with a traditional filling, we would use something that was like, you know, from a local farm that's in season, a vegetable in season. All the techniques are the same, but you're changing up the flavor profile and maybe changing up the look or how you present it to make it, you know, more fun for us to kind of be creative with. But again, like, we don't really allow that to happen until the fundamentals are there. But I think Balkan and Telva are two very different beasts, mm-hmm. you know, in that way. Whereas, you know, you're going to have the things on Balkan's menu when you go to that region, you'll find those things. Whereas Telva, there's some things on there for sure, but we're definitely taking more creative liberties there in the way that we present it.
Mm-hmm. There are also the freedoms that are offered by being able to use what is locally available. And St. Louis boasts the largest Bosnian community outside Bosnia.
Yeah.
What have you made at Telva at the Ridge that you could really only get in St. Louis?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we do at Telva, for example, is, you know, we've kind of created these dishes out of tradition. So there's a dried cured sausage called sujika. And it's like heavy paprika. It can be spicy, but it's really, really tasty. And it's, you know, you would have it on like a charcuterie board. Like, and I went to make that once, and I cooked some of the meat before we like cased it and cured it. And I was like, wow, this is like very good. it tastes great the way it is. So instead of kind of coming up with something that was going to be, you know, not familiar for our breakfast sandwich at Telva, we decided that we would use the bulk sausage sujika fresh instead of drying it and curing it as like a, you know, like a patty on your breakfast sandwich. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
Right.
But it's one of those things where it's like you eat it and it's familiar. The flavor is familiar. Everything about it is what it's supposed to be. But it's a completely different thing entirely.
We've been talking about traditions that have come from Bosnia. We've just talked about the St. Louis Bosnian community. Is there a tradition that you have created at Balkan Treat Box or Telva at the Ridge that is just as important and that from your perspective maybe is the thing that set you apart as a Midwestern chef over, you know, all of the other deserving nominees?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the thing too. After this happened, you realized that, you know, deserving is a great word. I mean, not just the nominees, but so many others that don't make those kind of lists. We're all kind of doing the same thing. And I think there's a little luck involved for sure. And, you know, for what we're doing, it's pretty niche. So it's a little unique. I think that's something, too, that's quite different. I think that's one of the things that I was talking about is, like, just having a stage to kind of present this on and having people get excited about this style of food is the reason why we started doing it in the first place. As far as traditions at Balkan and, you know, how that sets us apart, I think, again, going back to, like, knowing that people are curious and, you know, wanting them to be curious and then following through with, you know, what that means. So we're talking about, you know, the words, you know, what the dishes are, you know, how to say them. We want you to want to say that and then to understand that now you have it in front of you and, you know, maybe it's not traditional to eat with a fork and a knife. And so now we're educating you on how, if you were sitting with, you know, a group of Bosnians in Sarajevo, like, how would you eat this? Mm. So it's important that, you know, our staff is trained and they can tell people, like, how to enjoy it properly. Because really, if you pick up a čevapi, the whole thing, and try to eat it like a sandwich, it's not going to be enjoyable.
It's as big as your head.
Yes,
mine,
it's huge.
Least,
yeah. Yes. So, and it's also not to be, it's not meant to be eaten that way. So you're not really getting the true experience if you're, if we don't do our job by telling you, yes, do we come to your table and are like, okay, have you ever had this before? Like, let me tell you how to eat it. You know, there are people that are, don't love that, you know, don't tell me how to eat my food. But it's also, you know, in how we deliver it and how we make them feel, and then giving them the kind of tools to really be able to enjoy themselves from start to finish. It's something that takes a lot of time. The training to work in our restaurants is complicated. And we try to make sure, because we're in a fast casual environment, people aren't just hanging out, like taking orders and explaining things for a very long period of time because it moves so quickly. So we've had to come up with all these systems and, you know, ways of doing things that made the guests feel like they were a part of something too, you know. And that was, I was kind of, when we opened Balkan, it was like, you know, how do I take everything that I just learned and felt, you know, by leaving the country and being there, and showing people what that feels like to be there. And I feel like that was kind of lacking when I would kind of go around to other restaurants. I really like the sights and the sounds and the feelings that you have when you travel and you take in someone else's culture, and you're trying to, you know, give that back, and you're trying to like have people feel that way. It was important for us to like look at that. And so Balkan is really loud. The music is playing, and it's always music from the region. Again, it's like you experience nature there, and it's stunning. The colors are beautiful, like turquoise waters, cherry blossom, like red cherry blossom trees, copper, brass. And then you've got loud music and art and all of these things that are all coming together at the same time as you walk through like city centers and markets and towns. And I wanted people to feel that way when they came into Balkan. And I think we've done that. And I think it's an interesting experience because it is, it's loud, it moves quickly, it's exciting. And that hasn't changed from day one.
So sitting in front of you, Lauren, is the James Beard Award medal. And you are telling me that you have been wearing this everywhere. And it is... It is a heavy piece.
It is a heavy piece, yeah. Shamelessly, yes. I have not, it has not left my side since it was put around my neck. Wear it and take it everywhere. So, you know, Bosnia was in the World Cup, and immediately following, you know, winning a James Beard, we went to those games. And so we were wearing it and bringing it with us everywhere. And it all felt like a very big celebration, like not just the James Beard, but, you know, Bosnia being on that stage and being recognized and, you know, people hearing their songs and again, their music, and like could tell that there was just so much love and passion behind it. Somehow, some way it felt intertwined. I can't explain that. But James is, has been a part of me.
Yeah, he's rocking with you.
He's rocking with me.
Do you feel some burden? Because I said that it's heavy, and winning recognition like this, you know, often comes with questions about, you know, what is coming next. Do you feel the weight of that?
No. And the reason why is because there's always been things coming next. Whether this would have happened or not, we would still continue to grow and can still continue to kind of bring new things and want to show other parts of the cuisine and the culture. So I don't feel that. I think there's some, you know, I think one of the cool things about this for our city is that it brings people to the city. So people travel for these things. And, you know, so now we'll have people coming in specifically to eat at Balkan. And yeah, there's a lot of pressure for people to, you know, they're flying in specifically to dine at our restaurants, and you want them to have the best experience, and you want them to be like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, I get why this happened. And we can do our best, you know, but there is a lot of pressure around that for me specifically. Like, I feel that's heavy, mm-hmm. you know, because I just want to do a good job, and I want, you know, people to love it as much as I love it and as much as, you know, other people love it. But you can't control that.
What excites you most about the next year?
I think kind of piggybacking on what you asked, like not the pressure, but I think for me, what I'm looking forward to is seeing we've done kind of everything grassroots, like we've done everything ourselves. And what's exciting to me is to see if we can attract others, you know, like is whether that's in, you know, with our growth process, like, can we find, you know, better financing? Can we find, you know, investment? Are people excited enough to help us kind of achieve the goals and dreams that we have? Like, and we've had that, of course, like our staff every day. Actually, it was Nathaniel Reed that told me, from Nathaniel Reed Bakery, that told me that your staff, your team are the ones that are helping you make your dreams come true every day. And, you know, that couldn't be more true. And I've never seen it any other way since. And it's something I think about often. And I think with this, I think about, okay, now, is there the potential for it to be beyond just the team? You know, like, is there potential for, you know, growth beyond our wildest dreams? Like, I think that's kind of what I'm looking at now and feels like exciting.
Congratulations again,
thank
Lauren.
Thank you.
Lauren Knowledge is co-owner and head chef at Balkan Treat Box and Talva at the Ridge. She was awarded Best Chef Midwest by the James Beard Award Foundation just a few weeks ago. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Elaine. It's been fun.
This episode was produced by Lila Halil-Bashic.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.